Oh, Tavshin Ein Zayin. All right. Let's take a look first on the daf here. It says, Boel Paro. Truth is, let's look in the pasuk. Let's look in the pasuk, the very first pasuk of the Parsha. It says, Boel Paro, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Boel Paro, Ki'ani Hichbarati Es Libo, Beslev Avodov, Leman Shisi Ososai Eile Bekirbo. You see it there?
You got it?
Yeah, you got it?
Okay. I followed you right through it.
Okay. So
now translate it.
Okay. What does he say? Hashem says to Moshe, come to Paro, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, Leman, for the purpose of placing Shisi Ososai, my wonders, Eile, or my signs, Eile Bikirbol, these signs in his midst. Okay?
Just got done doing seven.
Oh, you're good. Okay, so now we're gonna. Okay.
So now we got the big three.
Excellent. Your mom's right on the beam.
I hope so. I'm trying.
Okay, so now, the terminology, Bo El Paro, come to Paro, is also found in Perek Zion, in last week's Parsha, Pasuk Chavav. There, it's in the context of Tzvardeya. So, listen to the, a little bit of the difference there. There it says, in Perek Zion, Pasuk Chavav, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Zion Chavav Yun Ches. Back up
a little bit more.
Zion, no, Chavav. Says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Bo el Paro, V'amarte Elav, and you should say to him, Ko Amar Hashem Shalach Es Hami V'Yavduni. Come to Paro and say this to him. Okay? Mm-hmm. Or in Dever, that's in Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, right? Also says something similar. It says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Bo El Paro, V'dibarte Elav, and you should speak to him. Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yivrim Shalach Es Hami V'Yavduni. Right? Send out my people so they might serve me. But over here in our Parsha, it just says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Bo El Paro. It doesn't say what to say. Ki anich barati es libo v'slev avadav, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, the man shisiyo sasai ele bikir bo. Uleman tizapir bo aznei bincha, uven bincha es asher yisalalti b'mitrayim, and so that you should tell over to your children. Right? And your son and to your son's son. The way that I mocked Mitzrayim, I played with them. The signs that Shersamti Bam that I placed in their midst, V'yedatem Kani Hashem, you shall know that I am Hashem. And then it says, V'yom Moshe V'yom Moshe V'aron El Paro V'yom V'yelav, but it's not like Hashem told him, this is what you should say to him. It just says, Bo El Paro. Okay, so let's take a look here on the daf. We have here, this is recalled, this is the Pshut Tzadok, that's the Tzadok HaKohen. It says as follows. It says, Bo El Paro, Bezor HaKodosh. It says, the Zohar says, Leich El Paro, mi boy. It shouldn't say, Bo, come to Paro. It should go to Paro, not come to Paro. Come to Paro. Right? Elada Ayele Kutchabrichu Adrin Basar Adrin. What it's saying is that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, come into Paro. Room within room, chamber within chamber. What the Zohar is addressing is just as we find that the Maharal, for instance, discusses the idea of that the world is created with 10 ma'amorim, 10 statements on the part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like we see in Pirkei Avos, Basra Ma'amoros Nivra Olam, right? The Maharal introduces the idea that the Eser Makos are to strip away, yeah, the kilkulim, the damage done to people's perception of the Asar Ma'amoros. In other words, the world is created
The damage done by the Marcos?
No, the damage done by people over the generations.
By interpreting
things incorrectly. Hmm. In other words, the idea is, like it says in the Mishnah, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have created the world with one mimer. Mm-hmm. But what he does by doing it through 10 mamaros is that in his wisdom, this is the degree to which you, the oneness of Hashem, is hidden in the world. In other words, it rather if it were in one mimer, it's like bang, it's right there in your face. The fact is, it's in 10 mamaros, it's in 10 statements, layered exactly how the Rebbe did it. I mean, we have the 10 mamaros in Sefer Brachos. Brachos is the first one. Hior is the second one. Right? Hirakiah is the third one, etc. So the mamaros, as it were, since it's describing what appears to be an evolutionary development of the world, the appearance is so that you people will have bechira, because you could look at the world as a self-enclosed system. You could look at it as a self-enclosed system, but it's not. Mm-hmm. But it has that appearance. Like it's bechira. So and then the Sfased, the Chidush Arim, and the Sfasemes, they develop the idea further, right? I guess it's also the Maral, but really the Maral, I think, is focusing mostly on that the Eser Makos come to strip away the false perceptions in the Asara Mamoros, right? In other words, really, you should be able to find Avraham Avinu, let's say he looked out into the world, his two kidneys, as it were, taught him Torah. His kidneys, they cleanse the blood. The blood is the life force of a person. If a person wants to, it's all implanted inside of us to be able to find, right, called the Rebbeinu Shalom. All the concepts, what we call what in Sefer Eov are referred to as Deim. He refers to it as Deim in Sefer Eov. In other words, truths, that there's a creator, that creator is involved in our lives, that all the things that are like the ikrim of what it means to be a person, to be a Jew, to be a Tzelem Elokim, etc., all of them really implanted inside of us. The question is do we allow those things which are implanted inside of us to be the lens through which we view the world? Or do we immediately begin to pile on stuff, cheap makeup, upon ourselves, so that our perception of the world is now slanted. It's askew. Mm-hmm. So the Eser Makos come as it were to strip away all the cheap makeup that people have piled up upon the Asar Mamoros. And as the Chusharim is Fasemes say, it paves the way for the Aseres HaDibros. Aseres HaDibros really speak to the crux of the issue. Okay. And they tell us that really what underlies everything in the Bria is the Dibur of the Torah that's in the Bria. So that's why in every event, like we said so many times before, right, in every event and every object, there is the latent mitzvah that's inside of it. What to be done with it. How to react to it. How to act with it. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the Dibur of Hashem that's really inside. So the Asar Mamoros are Hashem's will, as they generate creation. The Eser Makos come to cleanse away the, right? It's a makeup remover. Removes what he called the junky makeup off, what he called off the presentation of the world. And that gives, as it were, that's the introduction to the Aseres HaDibros, which ultimately tells us, and this is really what the world is about. Right? And as you may not see at first glance, and as you see the money, you know, in your pocket. See the money in your pocket. And you say to yourself, this is money. I could buy something with this. Buy bubble gum. Or I'll buy something else with it. Right? What else is the money for? Well, if I got a lot of these, might as well a yacht, a Lamborghini, or, you know, maybe a Glock Kosher Cruise, the Caribbean, right? Yeah, etc. I could go to Egypt for Pesach, right? And, you know, that'd be a real experience.
Right.
Right, etc. Or, you could look at it like the way the Chidah describes it in the name of the Ari, quotes the Ari, he says, this is a Yud, and this is a Hay, and the little coin is the yud, the hand is the hay, the outstretched forearm is the vav, and the receiving hand of the ani is another hay. So you've written Hashem's name, as it were, as you give tzedaka. Right? But it's two different ways of looking at the world. Right? You tell that to somebody who's, the process of, spending his money on, who knows what. So he says, but have you been drinking? Or maybe, maybe smoking something. Could you share with me? It's really good stuff. You're out to lunch. That's unbelievable. In any event. So, that's the derech that's presented by, for instance, the Maral Sfas Emes. The Zohar, which is where Tzedakah is coming from, also is describing this system of ten, but he's describing the system of ten in terms of that there are, just as we, it's all become common parlance now, we've all become Kabbalists, right? Mm-hmm. Right, just like we know this Esser Sfiros, right? Esser Sfiros, everybody called ten emanations, as it were, what we call it, or presentations, or midos. Not all midos, some of them are concepts, some are midos. In other words, the structure of the world is as it wends its way from the hidden one, i.e. the Ribbono Shel Olam, before he's made the world, as you can say before, right? Beyond the world. And then, right? And then he becomes the creator. Now he's the creator. He's creating the world. Right? According to his hidden will creates the world. Within the creation of the world, so he presents himself to us, right, with ways that we can comprehend. As we are a mirror image of the way he creates the world. What they call chachma, wisdom, bina, understanding. Right? First you receive chachma. That's basic concepts, but then you understand it. Then once you've understood it, so now those two things are bound together, and those become the mentalities of a person, as it were. Right? In other words, wisdom, understanding, and when they become his worldview, his Weltanschauung, when they're attached together, right? So that's what becomes the person's mentalities, and then, as it were, become his midos, chesed, right? Giving, extension of oneself, love, gvura, restriction, etc. Limitation, din, and so on and so forth, right? Just in really very broad strokes, are all the midos, right? The midos of a person. And then are the actions of a person. In the world of the Mikubalim, it's all described, right, in the form of what we recognize as man. It's not that it's doing that to, as it were, to explain it to us. It's because we are a product of that system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. And this is the way that the system is, that there is a Rosh in Shamayim, Kaviyachol. There are eyes, there are ears, there's mouth, what do you call it, there are arms. Again, not physical, conceptually. And we are the physical manifestation of those concepts upstairs. So everything, right? Right arm, left arm, right leg, left leg, what do you call it, the bris, etc. Everything has its parallel upstairs, or perhaps what we should say really is we are the parallel of what is upstairs. Right? So that being the case, what Reb Tzadok addresses, based upon the Zohar, is that the Eser Makos are, as it were, are coming to cleanse, because there exists also a Kadosh Baruch Hu created in order to give us Bechira. There is this kilo, this structure of man in the realm of Kedusha, and then there is an optional, or what appears to be optional, structure of man, which is one of Tumah, right? People choose, but it's very deep in creation, because that's what gives us Bechira. It's not like everything's perfect over here, and all of a sudden just over here we've got issues, right down here on earth. It starts way, way up there, way, way up. way, way up in creation, the what do you call the creation of what appears to be two possibilities, albeit really there's only one. One is what do you call one leads to truth, and the other one leads to oblivion, to non-existence. But it's way, way up there. Says Reb Tzadok. Says from the Zohar. Says, why does it say? It should say Lech El Paro, go to Paro. Why say Bo El Paro? It's come upstairs, come into Paro, right? Not just to greet him on the outside, but what he called come into Paro, into the very highest, deepest levels of the world of Tuma. Come into that. El the Ayile Kuchibricho Adrin, right? Basar Adrin, like chamber after chamber. Right? Vide gam bemakos tzvardea v'dever v'parshas v'era k'siv gam kein loshen bo. Like we mentioned before. V'nira d'ikr dikduko d'kan lo k'siv mayomar lo b'vo. The ikr dikduk of the Zohar over here is pointing out how something this is different is because it says come and doesn't say what to do when you get there. Because that's the issue. The issue is now you've risen, as you pointed out before. The recall, there were seven makos in Va'era. The three makos over here. The seven makos of Va'era were addressing, as it were, the rectification of the tumah, if we're going to use the sprach, if we're going to use the lingo of the Zohar and Reb Tzadok. Those are the rectification of the parallel world of tumah from the neck down. These three over here in this parsha, Arbe, Choshech, Choshech, Makas, Bechoros, are referring to the world of mentalities, right? What do you call it? Well, I shouldn't even say just mentalities. It's really, it's heart and mind and then whatever's beyond, etc. So it's the rectification of the very deepest parts of the world of Tumah. It says over here, it says gam, right? Lahavin, lama sidru hagimul makos achronus, as you pointed out. Why the three makos? Yeah, in this parsha zu, they have dilo and separated it from where? Separated it from the Zion makos rishonos that were in parshas va'era. But lama lo nichtavu kulma parshas va'era biyachai. Why were they all together in parshas va'era? And that's what the Zohar is relating to. That he's taking it out chamber into chamber. We're talking into the world, the deepest, deepest sources of Tumah. Just like we see in Shir HaShirim, when we talk about in the world of Kedusha, Heviani HaMelech HaDorav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shlomo HaMelech writes, that we call it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol took Klal Yisrael, yeah, Chadorav, into his deepest chambers. That's the world of Kedusha. But since there's a parallel world of Tumah, Paro is the example par excellence, right, of that Paro and his people. So there are also chambers there as well. Fine. The Al Yedei, the Al Yedei Makos, right? By Yedei HaMakos, Hayinagof LeMitzrayim or Foli Yisrael. The Makos themselves, as the Jews witnessed this, it was a blow to the Mitzrim, to the, what he called the Egyptians, Urefo Yisrael, and it was healing for the Jewish people. In other words, as they saw the stripping away, of this false attitude, relationship, perception of the world, in the Mitzrim, the Jews then in turn were able to embrace that level of existence, but on the side of Kedusha. stripped away one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, until eventually when we reach Makas Bechoros. Makas Bechoros is connected, it's parallel to the Maimar of Breishis Bara Elokim. Just as it says Hashem himself came and smote the firstborn of the Mitzrim, and so too also creation starts with the Rabbonu Shel Olam Breishis Bara Elokim. Note that that's the first Maimar. That's the first Maimar of the Asar Mamaros Shenivru Bo Olam. It doesn't say Vayomer over there. There's no one to talk to yet. Breishis, that's why there's no Vayomer. Breishis is also Maimar, just because there's no one to talk to. Fine. Vizeh Shenamar Boel Paro Da Ayale Kutshabihu Lemosha Adrin Basar Adrin. Kashbrochu took Moshe Rabbeinu chamber into chamber, Hainu Lipnimius Halev Shalo. He brought Moshe Rabbeinu into the heart. Right? The heart of Paro's, what do you call it? Paro's false world. Right? Ki ani hechbadati es libo. Shebevadai de maka achas hayamotzi es Yisrael. Because Hashem said, really, he would have just, as a knee-jerk reaction, released the Jewish people long ago. But that wouldn't serve the purpose. Right? And he deserved the punishment. But I've delayed it. Why have I done it? Why didn't I just do one big maka bang and knock their teeth out and they'll be done with it and they're gone? Because this is meant to be, to restore the Jewish people's connection to the world of Kedusha. They were, after all, they were like a fetus inside the mother cow when they were in Mitzrayim. That's the way the Medrash portrays it. And in order, as it were, for them to adapt, to understand, to absorb a different way of looking at the world, they had to see everything stripped away from what he called from the Mitzrayim blow after blow. Fine. Fine. Okay? Okay, alright?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fine. So that's really cool. That's Reb Tzadok. Go down now, let's see the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes says, you see the really cool neck paragraph? Yeah. Omra Adoni Skeni Moriv Rabbi. It was his Yortzeit. The Sfas Emes' Yortzeit was this week. On Hey Shvat. I heard once that there were a group of Jews. They were, if you go into the Beis HaKvaros in Lodz in Poland,
mm-hmm.
So there, it's a very big Beis HaKvaros. There's a whole section there with thousands and thousands of small markers on graves. Those are the people who died in the, what do you call it, in the ghetto. That were buried there. Died or were killed in the ghetto. They're buried there. We're not talking about all the people that were shipped off to what he called to Auschwitz and to other places, etc. That's without saying. But anyway, but there are three large pits along the wall of the entrance to the Beis HaKvaros. And those were all the people, there were like 800 people or something like that, that were in charge of cleaning up the ghetto, right? After they'd already, you know, sent the remainders of the Jews off to Auschwitz, right? And they were in charge of, you know, collecting the booty, whatever was left, and, you know, whatever, that was their job. And of course, what was going to be is when they finished their job, they killed them. So they dug these pits. They had the Germans forced them to dig these big pits. These big pits there in what he called the Beis HaKvaros, I think it's three of them, if I remember correctly, right? And that's where they're going to die. And it was the night before, and they knew the next day they're going to take them out and shoot them, right? And a woman gets up there and says, Yidden, right? Jews, Av Bitachon, right? Today is the Sfas Emes, is your Zeit, right? It's what he calls Hey Shvat, his schus will be saved. The next morning, the Russians came quickly, right? They came quickly, and the Germans fled, and they were all saved.
Really?
So you have still that these three empty pits, they're not covered over. You know, most of these, unfortunately, these pits across Poland, right, they dig them, and you see that, like, the ground begins to sink because as the fill up with bodies, as the bodies disintegrate, so there's right. still depression there. But here the pits are, everybody called it just empty pits. Mm. They never got used. Skuso Yogan Elenu. So Amar Adoni Scheni Mor V'Rabbi Zeichat Tzarek L'Vrochem, he gave Masha Yatzorech L'Eser Makos. He says, why do we need Eser Makos? L'Hasir HaKlipa V'Hester Masar Mamoros. Like I said before, that the Sfas Emesh uses the Sprach of the Eser Makos as removing the Klipa that's upon the Eser Mamoros. Rav Tzarek spoke about the Asar, what he called the Eser Sfiros. Fine. Perish ki ba'olam ze nistar ze she'ikar chius akol rak osios ha'toro ma'morim. I'm sorry, I skipped out the line. La'asosim aseret ha'dibros. That's the end of the line. The Svasem is, as we said before, that the process of the Eser Makos is to strip away the cheap makeup off the Asar Ma'morist and pave the way for the Aseret ha'dibros. Perish, in the second line there. In this world, it's hidden from us that the life force of the entire world are the letters of the Torah, right? The mamorim that are created, right, the mamorim that through those, the words, the letters of the Torah, that's where the world is created from. Perish, ki ba'olam hazeh nistar zeh she'ikar chiyus hakol rak mi'osis ha'torah ha'mamorim she'nivru al yodam. Ba'al zeh she'omar she'nosim schar le'tzadikim ha'makayim ma'olam she'nivru be'asar ma'moros. That's the idea that tzadikim, who as it were, who hold on tight in spite of the fact that they don't see it right in front of them, but they plunge deeper and deeper until they come into contact with the word of Hashem that's in everything, they receive schar for their tunneling efforts, to derive, to extract, to recognize, the presence of Hashem that's in everything. Perishim yodim udvekim b'shor shchius ha'ne'alam sh'aydi asar ma'moros. They're attached to the underlying hidden principles upon which the ten sayings of Hashem that are the source of creation are built upon, i.e. the Torah. And through every makah was removed, but Hester Echad. V'nasin aseret ha'dibros. Perish dibur lashon hanhaga. Dibur is a lashon of guidance. Yeah? Like it says, dabar echad lador. One leader for a door. And then what we've got is a mimer, a statement. We've got all sorts of confusion tied to those statements of Hashem. Then we've got the makos, the cheap makeup remover, remove that. And then in their place now we have the dibur, the hanhaga, which directly tells you, this is what you do with this. This is what you do with your anger over here. This is what you do with your desire over here. This is what you do with your money. This is what you do with, etc., etc., etc. Right? The mitzvos. So now, if we were to count the mamoros backwards, right? So that being the case, we come to these last three mamoros: arba, choshech, makas bechoros. Arba is representative of the mimer yehi rakia. Let there be a division, the firmament. It divides, the what do you call it, the waters of above with the waters of below. Right? And if we remember back to Horatius, remember, but the first, the second, what do you call it, Yehi Rakia, that's the second mimer. The first, the third mimer. The first mimer is Horatius. If we go like Chazal. Yeah, the Talmud. The first mimer is Horatius. The second mimer, right, is Yehi Or, let there be light. The third mimer is Yehi Rakia, right? Let there be, as it were, a division between the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim, etc. It's only on that second day that it doesn't say Ki Tov. On all the other days it says Ki Tov, it's good, 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 right? Everybody caught. At the end it says Tov Me'od. Only on the second day it doesn't say Ki Tov. Chazal say why? Because it's on that day that Gehenim is created. It's on that day that angels of destruction are created. It's on that day. Why? Because there's the division between the heaven and earth then. In other words, if everything were so clear that the heaven and the earth are attached, so then it's clear. So it's necessary for man to be successful in a lifetime of effort, because otherwise, were there no division between the heaven and the earth, right, then there would be no effort. But on the other hand, it also has the potential for error, for sin, for suffering, for all sorts of terrible things, for Gehenna. So that's the one day where it doesn't say Ki Tov. It doesn't say Ki Tov. And Yom Sheni. And Yom Sheni. And again, that's the third, what do you call it? That's the third mimer. Bracious, Yehi Or, Yehi Rakia. Let there be a division in the firmament. So this and I heard, 20 plus years ago, from what do you call it? From a Rebbe, from Moshe Shapiro, what do you call it? His shloshim is on Monday, right? He said, explaining the idea. He says, look at whatever it is. He talked about the idea of the arba. I'm actually going to use a little bit of a different idea because I think they'll serve our purposes a little bit better. But the idea of the arba. What is the arba? So let's take a look. Let's look down at the psukim over here. Pasuk says, the Pesukim in Bereishis say, Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Rakia, that's in Bereishis, Besoch HaMayim, V'hi Mavdil Bein Mayim LaMayim. Let there be a Rakia, a division, between the upper waters, right, and the lower waters. Vayas Elokim as Rakia, Vayadel Bein HaMayim Asher Mitachas LaRakia, Bein HaMayim Asher Mi'al LaRakia. The waters above are all waters of what he called of Kedusha. Right? The waters are always a symbol of Hashem's wanting to give to us. The waters down below are now are separated from the waters above, as it were. In other words, there's water, there's going to be chesed here in this world, but it doesn't look like it's attached to the waters above. They're yearning to return to the waters above. Vayikar Elokim l'Rakia Shamayim v'yi'er v'yivok yom sheni, and there's no kitov. So now, we have to look back in the Chumash here. In our Parsha, When it says about the Arba, so it says in Perek Yud, Pasuk Hey, it says that about the Arba. V'chisa es ein ha'aretz. Here in Perek Yud, Pasuk Hey, it says Moshe tells Paro, I'm going to bring the Arba, I'm going to the locusts. V'chisa es ein ha'aretz. They will cover literally the eye of the land. Lo yuchal iros es ha'aretz, and you will no longer be able to see the land. Va'achal es yeser ha'pleita, and they will eat everything that was left over. Hanisheres lachem min ha'barad, that was left over after the destruction of the barad, of the hail. Va'achal es kol ha'etz ha'tameach lachem min ha'sadeh, and they will eat every tree that grows from the sadeh, from the field. So what does it mean? V'chisa es ein ha'aretz, they'll cover the eye of the land. So Rashi says es ein ha'aretz. Es mare ha'aretz, you won't be able to see the land. And the Gur Aryeh explains in Rashi, it doesn't mean that it's they're sitting on the land, they're sitting on the earth, and you can't see it. It says Rashi says you won't be able to see es mare ha'aretz. Not you won't be able to see the aretz. You won't be able to see the light of the sun as it illuminates the aretz. You won't be able to see it. Why? Because we're talking about the Arba will create, even if they're on, let's say, what do you call it? They're not so high, way up there. They're over here. You can see. They might even be, as it were, traveling, in their masses below your eye level. Or if you're standing up on something high, for sure it's below your eye level. So you can see light, but you won't see the Aretz. In other words, your abuse, right? In other words, the whole purpose of creating the Rakia, dividing the heaven and the earth, is to give a person free will, the opportunity to have free will. And now, what's happened is that you've abused that. You've seen the separation is like, God, I can do whatever I want over here. You don't see the attachment to the Shemayim. You don't see that it's one system. So the Mida Keneged Mida on that is what? That the locusts will come and they'll hide the vision, the view of the Aretz. They'll create a false, an additional rakia, a firmament that divides the heaven, the sun, from the earth. You won't see it. So that's all in the world of in the world of the Tumah of Mitzrayim. So again, let's just recap. Where are we holding? The Makos are, as it were, coming to rectify the damage done to the Asarim HaMoros. Rav Tzadok spoke about it in terms of Bo Paro from the vantage point of the Zohar, but it's really like two sides of the same coin. Come into the world of darkness, into the world of Tumah of Paro, right? Come into his heart. His heart is the place, right? The person's heart is where he's maving. He understands. Lubina, understanding of what you receive from above, is always associated with the heart. So that's his boil paro, come into his heart, ki yenich barati is libo. Come into that heart, that's a hard heart, right? And you'll be able, as it were, to be able to cleanse out that tumah from the Jewish people. As you witness the tumah and the punishment that it generates for paro, you'll be able, as it were, now to rectify it and give clarity to the Jewish people. That's really cool. That's the way Sarek portrays it. And the makkah that does that is what is the arbe. The makkah is the arbe in that the arbe hides the view of the earth. The second day was a day that separated heaven from earth in order to give man free will. Because if you saw it all attached, it would all be very right there in your face. It's separated in order to give you free will, but it also gives the person the opportunity to abuse that separation and to look at it incorrectly, which is what Paro and all of his cohorts, etc., are doing. That now is cleansed away by the punishment, Mida Keneged Mida, of the Arbe coming, where now you've got another layer that separates the sun, as it were, from the earth. You can't see the earth. Not that they're on the earth, but they block the light of the sun from reaching the earth, as Guyari explains Rashi. Fine. Let's briefly talk about, and now what do we do? At the end of all these makos, so the first mitzvah the Jewish people get is Achodesh Zelachem, right? Rosh Chodesh. The idea of Hischadshus, right? So funny. Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? But lamala min Hashemesh, there is lots new. Above the sun, there's plenty new. In other words, there's always chidush. In other words, if a person, it's not just the upstairs and the Shmei Shemaim, things are new down here, everything is old. When you're living in the system of below the sun, where there's nothing that attracts you and nothing that you relate to other than that which is from the sun and lower than the sun, so it appears to be a repetitive cycle. Just go over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Ein kol chadash tachas Hashemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. But when you're living, as it were, above the sun, right? You're living with the dibros of the Torah, etc., etc. So it's not just upstairs is something new. That it gives you a different outlook, a different vantage point, a different way, a different lens through which you view everything that's here on terra firma. So everything is new. Everything is new. Everything is, you're constantly attached to the chidush of Hashem being mechadesh, betuvo, bechoyam, tamid ma'asim reishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates, as it were, yeah, our existence, what do you call it, the world, every day, it's a new, but it's only if you're looking into the lens of the Torah. Otherwise, it's, you know, been there, done that, you know, and let's just go to sleep or that shoot up, one or the other. Yeah, we'll have a little service in our best stead. So let's just address one thing, the entry into this new world. The mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Really, the whole discussion in Perek Yud Beis, right? Perek Yud Beis. Yeah, we got here. Here is your gimel. Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Yud Beis. What am I looking for? Yud Beis Aleph.
Yud Beis was Yud Beis Aleph.
Yeah. It says Vayomer Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron va'aretz va'aretz Mitzrayim leimor. And Hashem said to Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, Hachodesh hazeh lachem rosh chadashim rishon hu lachem lachodesh yashan. This will be for you the head of all the months, right? Rishon hu lachem lachodesh yashan will be the first in the series of the 12 months. Da'abruel kol adas Yisrael leimor be'asor lachodesh hazeh v'ikhu lachem ish selaveis avos selabais. The whole thing is talking about this chodesh, and then what does it immediately launch into? It launches into the process of Korban Pesach. Dabruel kol adas Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people. Leimor, saying to them, Be'asor lachodesh hazeh, on the 10th day of this month, v'yikhu lachem, ish selaveis avos, each person will take a sheep for his household, selabais, a sheep per house. Again, the discussion of halacha, what do you call the difference between the two terminologies? Yeah. Dinim ata bayis miyos miseh, right, etc. All the dinim of Korban Pesach. So that, in other words, what do we do with the chidush? What do we do with the chidush? In other words, now that this chodesh is going to be for you a Rosh Chodashim. A Rosh Chodashim. Right? It's going to be a Rosh Chodashim. I saw in the Tzor HaMor, if I remember correctly, the Egyptians also celebrated, what we call Nisan. But they didn't celebrate it. They didn't celebrate it from, they only celebrated when the moon was full. Right? They celebrated when the moon was full. Because in other words, that was at a time, according to their astrological, whenever the sun was rising in Aries, at that time during the year. So when the moon was full at that time, when the sun rose in the constellation of Aries, so then that's when they worship, because they bounty, full moon, bounty, bounty, bounty. The Jewish people count the moon from the beginning of the month. They watch its growth. They watch its growth, and they know that also that afterwards it wanes as well, reflecting the idea that Hashem's presence in the world, right, can rise sometimes, can wax, sometimes it wanes, and it's dependent upon us. He's given us the tools, as it were, called mitzvos, Torah and mitzvos, and because of that, because of our adhering to that, or God forbid, our fleeing from it, causes His presence in the world to wax and to wane. It's a different outlook, as opposed to a world of bounty, more, 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 more. But in any event, so the first mitzvah that they get in the context of this is your month, and now what? Korban Pesach. And the very first thing it says about Korban Pesach, it says, take it on the 10th of the month, right, and prepare it for the Korban Pesach. So you should be appoint every person who's going to eat from this Korban Pesach in this household, already from the 10th of the month. So the Rashi points out that halacha, in subsequent generations, you didn't need to take it from the 10th of the month. You needed to check the animal from four days before to make sure that there are no mumim. But you didn't need to appoint the people on it. Right? You didn't need to point people on it and say, okay, you're going to be on this Korban Pesach, you, right? That you could have done that Erev Pesach. Mm. And the idea is that as Rashi says, he brings from Chazal, when the Jewish people, right? Let's just read the Rashi for a second, right? You see the Rashi there on page 2. On page 2 here, right? Here. The Rashi. Let's just read that Rashi. V'hayu lechem l'mishmeres, right? You'll guard the sheep. Zeloshon bikur, shaton bikur mimum, arba yomim. You have to check it, make sure there's no blemishes on it, 4 days. Korm shchita. Umivema hiktim likichoso lishchitoso, arba yomim. But why did you have to designate that each person who's going to be eating for that Korm Pesach already 4 days before? That's not necessary 4 days before. Checking, make sure there's no mum, I understand. But you don't have to designate it. You can be designated on Erev Pesach. Mashalotziva came a Pesach Doros. It's not true by the subsequent Pesachim. Hayrav Masya ben Charesh Omer. Harehu Omer. Va'avor alayach ve'erech v'hinei ato eiz dodim. Higir shavua shenishbati, shavua shenishbati la'avram she'egal ez bonov. V'lo'ayu b'yodam mitzvah l'isasek behem. Kedish yigalu. Shenemra at erom ve'er yah. Right? the Psukim in Yechezkel talk about the Jewish people. God passed over us. Like we say these Psukim in the Haggadah, in Lila Seder. Right? I saw Hashem passed over us and he saw we were naked. We're naked from what? From mitzvos. We had no mitzvos. How's he going to take us out of Egypt? When we were called, what's the difference between us and the record on the Mitzrayim? So he wanted to clothe us in mitzvos. Nasalem shtei mitzvos. He gave to us two mitzvos. Dam Pesach v'dam Mila. He gave to us the mitzvos of Pesach and Mila, the blood of Pesach and the blood of Mila. Shemalu ba'osa laila, they mild themselves that night. Right? Leil HaSeder, the nighttime has got a din of a day, because you're not allowed to, Mila doesn't take place at night. Right? But the Leil HaSeder, the nighttime, is got a din of day. Right? That's why you say Hallel. You always still say Hallel during the day, also don't say it at night. Because that it's a special night. It's a night that has a din of a day. He saw us wallowing in our blood. What was our blood? Shnei damim, dam nid, dam nid, dam bris, right? Dam is dam bedam bris. Chashalachti asirach. We bore ein mayim bo, right? Dam bris and dam pesach. So now the question is that Rashi never answered the original question. The original question started off why they have to take it 4 days before, and then he goes off into another discussion why we needed two mitzvos. Ella, we see from this, right, this is where the Gur Aryeh, we understand from the Gur Aryeh, is really that there's several things that are being spoken about over here. We need the Dam Bris Mila. Why? Because that stamps us as Avadim to Hashem. Right? That's our stamp. Just like the reread stamps, other stamps of slaves in ancient times. Yeah. Right, the different stamps of slaves in ancient times, but the stamp of the Jew that he's an Eved Hashem is his bris. The dam Pesach is right is the act of service. In other words, the stamp that he's an Eved, that's his bris. The action of Avdus, of his service to Hashem, is the Dam of the Pesach. The Dam of the Pesach is the blood of service, of Avoda, of bringing this Korban to what he called to Rabon Shalom. The Maral says, the Gurari says, and the idea, what we also need is the concept of Asik b'mitzvos, involvement in the mitzvos, and not just the perfunctory act, but to be involved in mitzvos. That is the life force, yeah, that drives us. That's why he told us to take already, to appoint people, designate who was going to eat from which korban already 4 days before, so we would not only have the mitzvos, but we'd be involved in mitzvos. And that itself is a whole new part of the Jewish character. Sometimes we think of mitzvos just as perfunctory acts that we did. We did this, we did that, okay, fine, now what about the rest of life? The idea is to be involved in mitzvos. So really, the process of preparing us for Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just in the actual act of Mila that took place that night, and not just the actual act of the slaughtering of the Korban Pesach, which took place in the day just before the night, those two bloods, but really the act of preparation for Yetzias Mitzrayim was already in the involvement of mitzvos, by the taking it 4 days before, being involved in the mitzvos. And I would add just one more thing, as part of the process of preparation for Yetzias Mitzrayim, and that is, as the Maral says in Gvuras Hashem, he says that we eat the Pesach on matzos umrorim. We eat the Korban Pesach together with matzah and moror, right? Matzah and moror. Matzah is a symbol of freedom. Moror is a symbol of the bitterness of servitude, right? Of being subjugated, etc. Says the Maral, the symbol of eating matzos umrorim together with the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach is a symbol of Hashem's oneness. You don't break the bones in the Korban Pesach. It's eaten in one group together, in one house, at a unique time during the day, etc. All the different symbolisms that exist with regard to the Korban Pesach always pointing to Hashem's oneness. Oneness, 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 oneness. So all of that is also part of the lesson that prepares us to become a free people, right? Avdi Hashem. The lesson is, as the Maral says, to remember, I am one, Ani Hamochetz, I'm the one who sometimes crushes, not by caprice, but by design, for a reason that's ultimately for the tov of that person. Vanei Arofe, I'm the one who heals. So that's the if we were to just sum up the what we discussed today, Bechlal, we've seen the exit from the world of Tumah, right, of the Mitzrim, and the entry into the world of Kedushin, the world of Mitzvos, right, via Dam Mila, Dam Pesach, right, and the preparation for that act of Korban Pesach, the involvement in Mitzvos. Along with that comes the concept also of Emunah in Hashem, that He is the source both sometimes of difficulties and ultimately the healing of those difficulties, and they all have a purpose. We have to place our trust in Him as well. So Emunah, Mitzvos, involvement in Mitzvos, that's the entry into the world of Kedusha. Okay.
Gotta do it.